In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
This gospel today is a short one, but it's one of the most poignant and concise and probably important verses we hear in all of the scriptures. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that all who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's John 3:16. It's also one of the most well-known verses, and the verse has been translated into more languages than any other verse in the Bible. I think it was Martin Luther, not Orthodox, but who said that that was all of Scripture encapsulated in one verse, the love of God and the reason that God sent Jesus into the world. So that's what we get today on the Sunday before the cross. And right before that, we hear that just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so, and then it talks about Jesus, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that all who believe in him should have everlasting life. What is that Moses in the wilderness and the serpent? Do you know what that is? That's a reference to something in the book of Numbers from the Old Testament. And in that passage, Moses is taking the Israelites out of an area, and he's going around Edom, a land that they had just conquered. And the people are complaining against Moses and against God. They're saying, why did you bring us out of Egypt to bring us into the wilderness where we're going to starve? And there's this useless bread. So they cursed God, they cursed Moses, and they complained. So what God did is he punished them. He sent serpents, deadly serpents, to bite them. And it says that their children were dying. So what happens is they realize they sinned against God by complaining. And they came to Moses and said, we have sinned. We're sorry. So God told Moses, take a pole, like a flagpole, some kind of a stick, and put a bronze serpent on it. Right, so that kind of makes the image of a cross, if you can see that, a straight upright pole with a snake, and hold it up. And anybody who gets bitten by a serpent, if they look at that serpent, they will not die. So God had mercy on them and he spared them with that. So the gospel today is telling us, just as Moses did that so that the people might live, that's implied, the Son of Man must be lifted up so that all who believe in him should have everlasting life. That's what we call in our faith a typology, when something from the Old Testament foreshadows, you might say predicts, you might say paints in images and shadows and figures something that is in reality given to us in the New Testament. Old Testament shadows and figures, New Testament reality. We were having a discussion one day, and I was asked if we favor the New Testament in the church. Do we place more emphasis on it? I think we do. I think we definitely do as Christians. Here's the book. This is our entire Bible. I put the marker in the middle, but this is our entire Bible. We never want to think that the Old Testament is for the Jews and the New Testament is for the Christians. The entire book is our book. It's our inspired scripture of God, right? I put the marker in the middle to show you that everything in the New Testament is really about the Old Testament. In fact, it's repeated, it's reiterated, it's said again, but through the very important, essential lens of Jesus Christ. So everything on this side is the same as on this side, but now seen through a filter. It's all changed because of Jesus. So it's reinterpreted, it's re-understood, it's reapplied to our lives through Jesus, the Christ event, we might say. So we do place a little bit more emphasis. We see everything then from that perspective, from the Christ perspective. Why did Moses lift up a pole with a serpent on it? Oh, he was foreshadowing Christ on the cross. That's how we understand it. That's how the typology works. Why did God rest on the seventh day? Oh, he is foreshadowing when Christ rested in the tomb on the great and holy Sabbath. That passage about the rest is really about Christ resting after he conquered death. That's how we see it and how the scripture works for us. This particular image, Moses with the serpent on the pole and foreshadowing the cross, is particularly poignant. And it's noteworthy for two reasons. First of all, It's a serpent on a pole that protects the Israelites from a deadly serpent's bite, right? It's the thing itself that they're being protected from that conquers the enemy. Just like Christ conquers death by doing what? Not by calling down legions of angels to defeat the Romans, but by himself dying. So it's a great typology. The second reason, I think this is really important for us in our own lives to understand. You notice God says, hold the serpent up, he told Moses, and if they look at it, when they get bit by the deadly vipers, they will not die. God didn't say, I won't allow the vipers to bite them. He said, if they get bit, they will not die. That's the cross for us, you know? That's the cross, because death has been conquered through Jesus. We still have to die, though. We still have to suffer. We still have to bear our crosses in the world. But because death has been conquered, the reality of death doesn't have the same effect on us. It's like getting bit by the serpent, but not dying. But you still have to get bit in the world. And I'm not going to talk a lot about that today. That's a sermon for another occasion. We still have to get bit by the serpents in the world. I want to show you that that's a great typology and how that Old Testament passage really relates to what we believe about Jesus and the cross. So, beloved, our reality then, it's not shadows, it's not figures, it's not just images, it is reality now. It's Jesus Christ. That's everything. And we believe that it's done and given to us out of love. It's motivated by love, right? God so loved the world that he did this. So you are saved by God's love, you are saved by his grace, and you are saved by his compassion on you. So I want to stress this today and just take this in a very practical direction for you. Because it's something I suggested last Sunday during the sermon. Do we really believe this? Do we really believe we are loved by God? And that although we do no good thing in this world, he is present for us. Do we believe that? And I question if we forget it. If we really believe that, if we understand how much God loves us, and how we are nothing before him, but because of his grace, and only his grace, we are made to be everything, we would come to church every single Sunday. He is present here, Jesus, in two very important forms. One we just saw. The gospel book came out. The deacon held it up before the royal doors. Let us attend wisdom. And what do we say? Come, let us worship and fall down before Christ. So he is present for us in the Word. The other way he's present for us is, of course, in the Eucharist, in Holy Communion. So do we believe that God loves us so much? We believe it that we come to church on time to hear that Word? You can't separate those two. How Christ is present in the Word and in the Eucharist, you really can't separate them. And that's why we say, if you didn't hear the gospel, you shouldn't come up and receive Holy Communion. Not to punish people who are late, or to be picky or finicky, but because God is presenting you his Son Jesus in that Word. You have to receive that Word, and you have to receive it on God's terms. You can't pick and choose. I'll take the supper, but I'll skip the Word, or vice versa. You know, maybe we avoid coming to Holy Communion throughout the year. That's another important thing we should not do. We should take Holy Communion every time it is offered to us, because God is electing to call you forward and to give you his Son's body and blood sacrificed for your salvation, not because you were good or you didn't sin. In fact, it's in spite of all that God still reaches out to you. So maybe we stay at home and we say, well, I'm going to read my Bible. I'll take the word that way. And maybe I'll go to church on Easter and Christmas and on my birthday and on somebody's feast day or whatever. We're picking and choosing how we receive God. And God decides. He gives us that presence of Christ in the gospel and in the Eucharist every time it is offered. So for us to make our own schedules, honestly, beloved in Christ, and I say this with love, there's a false arrogance to that. You know, I decide when. Because think about this, especially with Holy Communion. If we don't want to come up and receive Holy Communion because, you know, we understand that there's preparation that has to be done. We have to fast. We might need confession, right? Maybe we are stressed out on a Sunday morning. We're not in a good frame of mind. We didn't prepare ourselves mentally, spiritually. We couldn't say our prayers. Okay, those things happen. But then to decide on certain days, I'm okay. I went to confession. You know, it's Christmas. It's a high feast day. Whatever the reasoning is, we're deciding that we're suddenly okay before God. And the fact is, we are never okay before God. So that's why I want to tell you today specifically about Holy Communion and the way we prepare. Look in your red service book sometime. Right after confession, there's prayers before receiving Holy Communion. That's the best kind of preparation we can do as Christians. We say the one prayer as a community before we all go up. But at home, on your own time, or when you come to church, or during the week even, to prepare yourself mentally, spiritually, to receive the sacrament, read through those prayers. Because they tell us in no uncertain language how unworthy we are. See, it's kind of a paradox. We're unworthy before God. We're only made able to approach Him by acknowledging how much we need Him and how unworthy we are. There's no good deed we can do. You can go to confession. And I know sometimes people don't come to communion because they don't have confession and they know they need it. So do the thing you need to do. Go to confession. It's that simple. Maybe you need to go to Vespers. You need to prepare, not stay out late. Do that and prepare. This is that important, is what I'm telling you. But the most important thing is to see yourself as totally and utterly, 100% relying on God's mercy. So take a look at those prayers. Make a habit of reading them and internalizing them and saying them before God before you come to church. And know that it's a free gift to you. You can't do anything to get it. God is good, He's kind, He's merciful, and He's compassionate. And He loved in the beginning. That's what the gospel told us today. And He sent His Son into the world. All of our good deeds, although we're called to them and we should do them, but they amount to, as it says in that one prayer, cast off rags before God. That's all of our righteousness to Him. Cast off rags. He is the only one that makes us righteous through His grace and His mercy and His compassion. So I want to encourage you not to neglect the gift you've been given. Come to church every Sunday. Hear that word. Be present with Jesus Christ. He came for you. He came for me. You come and you hear that, you know, and live that word in your life. And receive Holy Communion. If you have to prepare to do it, do whatever it takes to make it happen because it's for you. And it doesn't make any sense to come to church and skip the meal. You're coming to somebody's house, not just somebody's house, God's house. And He's laid out a banquet for you. And it's heaven and it's eternal life. And to say, no, I'm not going to eat today is an insult to Him. So God forbid we ever do that, right? This is my message to you today as we prepare for the elevation of the Holy Cross and we remember why all this happened. It's out of God's love for us. So make that your motivation. God loves you and feel love today. Know you are loved and show that to somebody else. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.